As I said at the children's service, you can keep your candles burning, but please don't set anyone's hair on fire. Earlier tonight, this church was also home to about 70 other people. Many of them only came up to about my hip, as we had the children's service at 7 p.m. And they gathered on quilts on the floor up here so they could see the nativity set. And Margaret told the story in such a way, much better than I just did, where we were all just eating of the palm of her hand. And then came the camels. They like Jesus, but the camels are very exciting in the nativity set. And they were excited and energetic. But even when the story was told, all the children, with all the energy, paused. They were totally enthralled and awed. They were silenced by the wonder of the angels and the shepherds and a baby born in a stable. And we've just heard the adult version, which isn't quite as entrancing, but it is when it's read by candlelight. And we're drawn for just a moment into that mystery. A moment when the busy outside world is hushed, all of the chores we've been doing, all the gifts we've been buying, all the shopping, all the baking, all the rushing around to make it perfect, has stopped for this moment. And we stood in a place of attentiveness and heightened expectation, of solemnity and honor. Now, perhaps it's the weight of the tradition that we are aware of when we listen to these passages, that we've heard for centuries. Christians have been telling the same story over and over again. Perhaps it's that that makes us hold our breath for a moment. But perhaps it's also the breathtakingly simple, yet surprisingly powerful story of a young girl giving birth to her first child, attended only by shepherds and stable animals, but heralded by angels above. By all rights, of course, it's a story that never should have been noticed, let alone told again and again and again across the millennium. After all, countless young girls gave birth that very night, and we remember none of them. Interestingly, the smallness of Mary's story is set off by Luke's beginning. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus while Quirinius was governor. Emperors and governors are apt subjects for dramatic narratives. Unwed teenage mothers and their vulnerable babies are not. But Luke locates this simple story amid the powers and the politics of the age to make a claim that this child born to the young mother will change the course of history. And the fates of leaders and common folk alike hang in the balance of that child's destiny. And yet, here we are, this night. And I suspect that on one level we've forgotten how audacious, if not outright outlandish, Luke's claim is. We're so accustomed to hearing this story once a year, at least. We might miss the irony of seeing a newborn baby and an emperor in the same story. How could they possibly have anything to do with one another? But at a deeper level, I think that we do recognize something of the absolute, even absurd, vulnerability of Mary and her child, and that vulnerability may very well be what moves us. I don't know about you, but I doubt many of us have much experience with great miracles, be it the relatively small-scale miracle of maybe finding a parking spot when you least expect one, or the large-scale miracle of being cured of some disease. We don't often hope those things happen every day, and if we do, we don't pay attention to them. But what about the vulnerability of a newborn? What about fear and hope bundled together in the heart of that child's mother? Those are things that every one of us has felt. How many among us gathered this Christmas Eve in this church are here with trepidation about perhaps the economy or a faltering relationship? How many of us are overshadowed by illness or filled with foreboding about the safety of a loved one or their health or welfare? How many of us are weighed down by caring for an elderly parent or a child? The simple truth of the matter is that each and all of us, whether we're dressed in our holiday best or not, have been indelibly marked by the everyday hardships of our lives. So we're well acquainted with the sheer frailty of those unlikely characters that we talk about tonight. We instinctively feel for them, and each Christmas, we're simultaneously humbled, surprised, and encouraged to hear the promise that God is working through those people we hear about in the story. It happened then, and it's still happening today. Perhaps we're kind of like the shepherds who were called from the fields. You know, they were just minding their own business, having a good time out there, I'm sure, looking at the stars, perhaps enjoying a drink because it was a long night. They were just in the fields. They were at the bottom of the socioeconomic order at that time in first century Palestine. They had no rights, they had no expectations, and they had no hope in the world of being touched by a miraculous God. It was not too surprising then that they were terrified by the appearance of angels. I would be terrified if an angel tapped me on the shoulder. And I am not as poor off as those shepherds. So what happens when we're tapped suddenly like that? Well, we either flee or we freeze. Well, they fled all right. They did exactly what the angel said. They obeyed and they ran right to the stable. And there they stumbled upon the tender or meager scene of a mother and child, and they wonder what on earth they've just seen. Of course, with all those angels hanging around, they realize that they've seen something quite amazing, something that they never would have thought they would be entitled to. So what else do? You go and tell the neighbors. So off they went, and they told everyone else, and everyone was amazed by what had happened. And in that is the promise of Christmas in a nutshell. God doesn't dwell with the high and the mighty only, but also with the lowly, in unexpected places, those who are considered nothing, sometimes how we consider ourselves nothing. And here, in the midst of the weakness and the vulnerability of our lives, of human birth, God makes that intention clear. You see, at some point, every one of us knows what it feels like to be lower than low, to be on the margins, be cast out and alone. And it's there that God comes to us. It might be in a hug from a stranger or a hand of help from someone we know or assistance or care from a brother or a sister that you would never have expected. Those are the moments when we feel that touch of God. And tonight, as we listen in candlelight to Luke's story, the truth is portrayed through simple, sympathetic, everyday characters of a young mother and very common shepherds. If God can work in and through them, and a couple of thousand years later we're still here talking about it, then perhaps God can work through us. And we should be encouraged by that. You see, the story isn't just about the mother and the baby. It's about all of us here tonight, how we're gathered amidst candles and prayers and carols and all these people. God came at Christmas for us, that we might have hope and courage amidst the dark and dangerous times and the dark and dangerous places in our lives. That's why we gather. Even if we didn't want to come tonight, and we're here because we're someone else wanted us to, or we're here because we knew it would make a parent happy. I remember going to church for that reason. Maybe we're here out of curiosity, or the mulled wine, or the mulled apple juice smelled good. I don't know why you're here, but I'm glad that you are, because we're not here alone. We're here in the midst of the light of God's love. And so is it any wonder that for a moment we can stop and be entranced as we hear the story of a baby? Frederick Buechner is an American writer and theologian, and he tells the story of one of his Christmas Eves. He says, "Exhausted, about to go to bed, having put all the presents finally under the tree, I remember that our neighbor had asked us to feed his sheep every day that he was away. Now, the snow was falling, and it was in Vermont, and it wasn't a green Christmas in this story. And my brother and I went down the hill to feed the sheep. We went into the barn, and we got the bales of hay, and we took them out into the sheep shed and cut the string and turned on the 40-watt bulb and began scattering the hay about. The sheep came bumbling up, getting close to it. With the smell of the hay, the smell of the sheep, and the snow coming down, all of a sudden I realized where I was. I was in the manger, and I almost missed it. I was in a holy place, and I might not even have seen it. I happened to see it. It seems to me that in a way you could say that the world itself is a manger, where God is continually being born into our lives, into all the things that happen to us. Most of the time, if you're like me, you're looking the other way. So tonight, as we look the right way for a moment, enjoy the suspended moment. Like the children who are sprawled on the floor, be held in the embrace of awe. Enjoy the beauty, the light, the community, the music. Let the unexpected, breathtakingly simple story of the humble birth of Jesus touch you, even if just for a moment. Pause. Be enthralled and entranced. Enjoy the possibilities that wonder opens up in your soul. To wonder is so good for us. Be fully alive this Christmas Eve and go into the darkened night blessed by the lightest touch of God among us. Merry Christmas.